Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, February 24th, 7:30 Central Time. Joining me by phone now, the Reverend Matthew Heise, Executive Director of Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Good morning, Pastor Heise. How are you this morning?
I am great. It's a little chilly up here, but after living 13 years in Russia, I think I can handle it.
Very good. Now, where is Lutheran Heritage Foundation located?
We're actually in Macomb, Michigan, so that's maybe about, I've almost said kilometers, about 10, 15 miles north of Detroit.
And how far is that in kilometers?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd have to get back my kilometers. We're probably closer than to 20 or so.
Well, tell us about, for our listeners not familiar with Lutheran Heritage Foundation, which I'm not sure how they could not be familiar with Lutheran Heritage Foundation, considering we talk about LHF a lot here at Worldwide KFUO. But those who aren't familiar with the work of Lutheran Heritage Foundation, share with us what you do.
Well, Lutheran Heritage Foundation was founded about 23 years ago by Dr. Robert Ron. And the goal of Lutheran Heritage is basically to translate, publish, distribute, and then introduce Christian books of a Lutheran conviction. Initially, we started in what was, of course, the former Soviet Union in Russia back in about 23 years ago. And it's expanded now. Over these past 20 years, we're approaching close to 90 countries.
Well, very good. And bringing God's word, bringing God's word in an accessible way to people in languages in their own language.
Correct. Yeah, and that's the goal, is to bring these books materials into the heart language of an individual, which I think certainly Luther would support. Mm-hmm. He himself understood the importance of this.
And types of books, obviously God's word, but things that help us study God's word as well, the small catechism and other books as well, right?
Correct. I mean, you'd basically say, I think two of our more popular books would be the small catechism, which is basically a great primer of the Christian faith, mm-hmm. and children's garden Bible stories, the old CPH classic from Arthur Gross in 1948. We've translated that in about 15 different languages and are seeking, of course, to expand that. And you'd be surprised sometimes that some of these people groups that are just coming to the faith, well, these are great tools for their children, but they are not familiar with biblical history. Mm-hmm. I'm sympathetic to this. When I'm learning German, I look at the children's Bible story book in German, because that, of course, was the type of German I could understand as I began to study the language. And I think most of us would see that people who aren't familiar with something, it's actually very helpful. So that as they read to their children, they learn themselves.
And speaking of children learning, one of the things that that Lutheran Heritage Foundation offers to help us learn about the people around the world is the VBS program, correct?
Correct. The River of Life program now, I'm not sure exactly how many years. I think it's been available about 7, possibly 8 years or so. And the goal is more or less, there's a theme of water. Water is part of God's plan of salvation. So the VBS program will teach children about creation, the flood, parting of the Red Sea, Jonah, Jesus' baptism there, and focus on water being used by God in a salvatory kind of way. Along with that, they have the opportunity then to learn about other countries too. So we talk about how the living water then is given to people in all these different countries, and so children would get, for example, a passport, and then they would get stamps in their passport, and they would visit, you know, for example, Russia, Africa, Asia, Caribbean, Baltic states, places like that. And so they would learn about other countries and other peoples, which, of course, is part of what we do, while also being focused upon this biblical lesson, too.
So this is a resource that's available to congregations,
right,
to groups.
Right, for $125, your congregation could use something like this, and easily reproducible types mm-hmm. of things there. It's the one VBS material we've had created. In fact, we've had people say, okay, we love this. Can you do something else? Unfortunately, you know, we're not CPH. We just can't. We don't have the staff to churn these out constantly. So, I mean, this is something that can be used again and again.
Very good. And it could be used during VBS. It could be used at other times throughout the year as well.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
We think of VBS during the summer, but maybe, you know, a special time during the year to help your congregation learn about the mission work of Lutheran yeah. Heritage Foundation and people around the world who need to hear God's word, who need help studying God's word just like we do.
Absolutely.
Well, very good. So the VBS, River of Life, is available from, and we can find out more on the Lutheran Heritage Foundation website. What's the website again?
It's www.lhfmissions.org.
Very good. And we'll give that again later on in the program as well, so we can point folks to that. Well, where are some of the projects? Where is some of the work that Lutheran Heritage Foundation is doing presently?
I almost like to say, where isn't it?
Okay, well, we could sum it up that way. That might be easier.
Yeah. I mean, we're really, and of course, there are places. And in fact, certainly one of the areas would be that window of Islamic countries in North Africa and the Middle East. We do have, of course, a catechism in Arabic and a basic Christian introduction, who is Jesus, in Arabic. And we're looking, actually, right now, we have an individual or group of people working on the children's Bible story book in Arabic. But currently, of course, they're kind of busy actually helping some of that work in the Syrian refugee camps, too. But that's an area, I think, right now that we aren't there, and we would like to indeed get more materials into that region and into areas where Islam is dominating. One of those probably would be Dadaab, and that's a refugee camp in Kenya. Right now, it is the largest refugee camp in the world, with about 425,000 people. It's located in northeastern Kenya, and it's basically United Nations High Commissioner refugee base. But you have all of these displaced people, groups from northern and central Africa. And many of them have fled because of Islam, from Somalia, from tribal warfare in South Sudan, and they've all congregated in this camp.
And so all of these people have come together in this camp. What is Lutheran Heritage Foundation doing there in the midst of all this?
We are actually we're working. We certainly have materials in Somali. We have people who do Somalian translations for us because there are a large number of Somali refugees. We're working in various languages, including Anuak, and in our current newsletter on our website, you can read the story of Okach, a young man from the Anuak people group who ended up because of tribal warfare, fled to Dadaab with his wife and three children. And it's just I was actually just conversing with him a few days ago on Facebook, and I had to ask him. I said, "How are you? Are you online? You're in a refugee camp." And he says, "Oh yeah." He says, "We got an area here where I can go online." I said, "Really?" And so we're conversing, and he's just kind of explaining to me, you know, the trials and the difficulties. He's translating Luther's Small Catechism into the Anuak language, which they do not have Lutheran materials in that language. There's about 350,000 people in the world who speak Anuak. There are people from southern Sudan and southwestern Ethiopia. There's some refugee groups in Minnesota and Maryland, I understand, too. But Okach is just kind of explaining to me, you know, within the camp, we have Islamic groups that pressure people to wear headscarves, his wife to wear a headscarf, pressure those who are Christian to convert to Islam, and Al-Shabaab, the infamous terrorist group, is in the camp there, too. Applying pressure. And under these conditions, this guy's living, you know, basically in a tent and translating Luther's catechism and still trying to defend his family. I'm just amazed at some of the things that go on in the world today and how comfortable we are in the States in comparison.
I can't even imagine what that must be like to constantly be on guard. You're right. I mean, we have no idea what it's like here,
and it's just a subculture within this camp here. And although it's a United Nations camp, I mean, you're talking 425,000 people. How do you police that? And so you have certain groups there and terror groups that actually come in there. So these are some of the issues they're dealing with. And yet he told me there are four Christian groups, including one Lutheran group that he worships with, in his own people group within this camp. So I'm just stunned to learn about this and how people are, I think maybe even more so over the past week after the martyrdom of the 21 Coptic Christians in northern Africa. Once again, I've spoken to a few youth groups here, and I just tried to tell them what Paul Marshall and Nina Shea mentioned in the books that they put out on persecution today, that persecution is the norm. What we have, the freedom that we have in the States, is not the norm around the world today. Hmm. Most Christians are persecuted for their faith, and they should know that.
To press on the work that this man is doing in this camp to you know, quite often that, you know, our focus is to protect our family and to protect our possessions, but he's spending his time translating the Small Catechism.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, under conditions like that, you know, normally, I mean, I'm working on a dissertation. I like to have kind of peace and quiet. And I can't imagine how he's doing this kind of thing. I mean, and I told him, he says, please pray for me. I said, I will. And, you know, I'd encourage everyone else to continue to pray for Okach and others who are Christians in very difficult conditions like this.
Certainly we will lift him up in prayer. And we need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, let's continue the conversation. Let's talk more about the work that Lutheran Heritage Foundation is doing around the world. And we'll continue that conversation here in just a little bit. We're talking with the Reverend Matthew Heise, Executive Director of Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Stick around for more of his time right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
You've discovered Worldwide KFUO, a radio station where you can find the clear biblical understanding of Christianity proclaimed daily in both word and song. Our talk programs can be heard live or on demand at your convenience anytime worldwide. The KFUO talk programs proclaim the true Word of God, focused on salvation through Christ and Scripture alone. You've discovered KFUO.org, the messenger of good news.
The Lutheran Heritage Foundation translates and publishes the Book of Concord in the Amharic language for pastors in Ethiopia. LHF also translates and publishes other good Lutheran books into many languages to help churches around the world introduce people to the Savior, Jesus Christ. You can learn about matching funds currently available to help LHF Missions publish almost 40,000 books at lhfmissions.org.
Hello from Michigan. We are Roger and Leela Thurow, members of Our Savior Lutheran Church, located in Scottville, just a few miles from the Lake Michigan shoreline. For the past 3 years, Leela and I have been day sponsors on KFUO in honor of our wedding anniversary. The voice of KFUO streams into our home, bringing the blessings of programs like Law and Gospel, Thy Strong Word, Book Talk, Moments of Assurance, and many more. If the messenger of good news has blessed you, we would like to encourage you to consider becoming a KFUO Day Sponsor. This opportunity to be a KFUO Day Sponsor reminds me of the words of a great hymn. If you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus, you can say he died for all.
This is Mary Schmidt. To be a day sponsor, call me 314-996-1518.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates, 7:45 Central Time. Today we are talking with the Reverend Matthew Heise, Executive Director of Lutheran Heritage Foundation, on the work that LHF is doing around the world. And Pastor Heise, just the story of the work in the Dadaab refugee camp in Kenya alone is just amazing that God's word is being, the Small Catechism is being translated there so that people can hear and study God's word. But it's not just there in Kenya, other places as well. Let's talk about some of the other places where Lutheran Heritage Foundation is doing work.
Sure. In fact, one of our recent newsletters, we talked about doors closing and doors opening at the end of last year. And one of those places where it may be closing slightly is Turkey. My first trip, actually, to Turkey was with a group of Georgian Lutheran evangelists. We were coming from the neighboring country of Georgia through the north, and we took a bus, a 24-hour bus ride. And, you know, we went through that area where Peter wrote to the folks in his epistles in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Bithynia. And as I was on the bus going through there and just seeing minaret, minaret, mosque, mosque, and all these small towns, I remembered that this used to be Christian. Peter wrote to these people. And Asia Minor used to be Christian. Well, today, Christianity is less than 1% of Turkish citizens now. And but we still do have the opportunity to work. I know our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Administration is talking about developing altar and pulpit fellowship with the Istanbul Lutheran Church, which Finnish missionaries have founded. And we've worked closely with them on materials there. In fact, we now just, I can actually tell you that we will have Luther's Freedom of a Christian is ready for printing, along with Jean V's Spirituality of the Cross. So these are they're kind of important books for Turkey, especially at this time. And you just think of the whole notion of people living in an Islamic society, and when they can read Luther's words on the freedom of a Christian is perfectly free, lord of all, subject to none, and he's perfectly dutiful, servant of all, subject to all, that paradox of the fact that I'm free, and yet I'm subject. And Luther, of course, will unpack that and talk about how we are free from fulfilling the law, but that now frees us up to serve our neighbor in a horizontal relationship there. And so Turks are interested, but as President Erdogan, who is quite Muslim, continues to kind of close doors for outreach. When I spoke to Finnish missionaries there just last year, at the end of last year, they were talking about almost a three-year plan, saying that, you know, we could very well be forced out of here. So it's really important to get these books out while we have freedom and while we have time, because we see a door closing there.
And so when the time is right, when that window, when that door is there, you got to move as fast as you can to do that, to bring God's word.
Exactly. And the hard thing, of course, is that there aren't that many Turkish Lutherans.
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to get publications and work with individuals is not an easy thing, especially when you just think of Lutheran theology. I mean, it's difficult sometimes for people to understand in English, in their own native language. And here you're speaking to a person from an Islamic society, albeit not a typical Islamic society. I mean, this is Ataturk's Turkey, which is more secular, but there are all those issues going on, and then you still have ISIS, of course, on the border, southern border of Turkey. I mean, it's a long way away, but I was just reading in that article this week put up by Graham Wood from Atlantic Monthly, What ISIS Really Wants, very well done article, and he talked about how many of the ISIS ideologues were saying Constantinople is one of our goals, and that's, of course, coming back north there I'm drawing a blank on the city right now. You have to help me out. Not Ankara, not the capital, but Istanbul.
Yeah.
So Turkey's struggling with all those issues there, and so, you know, there's a door of opportunity. We never know, and it may very well be open for yet quite some time. But speaking to people on the ground tells us that we need to get books out there, and that people are reading them, so we need to work on that.
So Turkey is certainly a place where this work needs to be done quickly. Other places where Lutheran Heritage Foundation is working?
Well, speaking of these immigrants, of course, I think I've mentioned a few times on some of our conversations about the large number of Iranian immigrants who've flooded into East Germany over the past, really over the past 6 years since the failed 2009 Green Revolution in Iran. And it's really a remarkable story. I was talking to Roger Tseger, who is the mission director, my classmate in the PhD program at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. And Roger is the director of the Blechmar Mission. And he told me actually of our church partners, the Independent German Lutheran Church, 40% of their baptisms in the past year were actually of Iranians.
Hmm.
And so you see this large number of Iranians coming into the church. So we talked about doing translations, and I've worked closely with Hugo Gevers, who, interesting guy, he's a South African missionary to Germany, and his grandfather was a German missionary to South Africa. So he's completed the circle, and Hugo works with the Iranian refugees, and right now we are about, I'd say, at least maybe a little more than a third of the way through the catechism in Farsi, the dominant language of the Iranians,
mm-hmm.
and we're also looking to actually hopefully do a child's garden of Bible stories. We've been able to receive some great support from Gary Tees out at Mission Central, and so we're really grateful to him. He's a great treasure to the church because he's helped us find the funds to publish books like this.
How do you go about translating? You mentioned earlier it's hard to find people. It's hard to find the Lutherans who know these languages in order to translate. Give us an idea what this translation process looks like.
Well, in Germany alone, there are Iranian groups in Berlin, Leipzig, and I'm trying to think the other area there. I think actually over to the west, closer to Hanover. And so there are different Iranian groups who understand the language slightly differently. So we've got them all kind of working together and looking at a translation. So they'll say, hey, is this understandable to you? And of course, then now they're kind of working through the German. Many of them have actually not just come there the past 6 years, have been there a little bit longer, have fled Iran, because people have been fleeing Iran for quite some time, since the Islamic Revolution back in 1979. So, you know, it's once again working with them. Hugo's tried to study Farsi himself so that he can actually converse with some of these folks. So it's not a simple process. There's actually a really interesting story. There was a German missionary who lived in Iran during the time of the Shah, and he actually translated just the basic Enchiridion into Farsi from the German. But of course, this is a German. So now, of course, Iranians are kind of going through some of that, and now they're adding on the questions there. So it's moving along quite well, but it's something that you have to continually check. You just can't have one person do it. You need different people looking at it, and especially if they come from different areas of Iran, so that we are publishing something that is understandable to as many Iranians as possible.
And that, when you use the phrase heart language, that's really what you're getting at, is the language that that one grows up with, the one that we understand and know, the language we think in, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And like I say, the opportunity, I think, is just really great there. If anybody's looking for just a real great understanding of what is happening there, I would direct them to a July 2012 Christianity Today article by our member, Uwe Simonetto. It's called The Other Iranian Revolution. And he lays out very well what's going on in Eastern Germany right now. As my good friend Pastor Gottfried Martens of Berlin says, he says, of all the places, God brings these Iranians to the most godless place on earth, the former East Germany. And really, this is how God works. He brings these people from an Islamic society who are disillusioned, don't know where to go. And thankfully, the German Lutheran Church, our church partners, the Independent German Lutheran Church, has reached out to them and have really taken the bull by the horns and lived out that faith. I mean, the freedom of a Christian is not just some document that Luther wrote back in 1520 that kind of sits there and gathers dust. I mean, this is how we live. We're freed from the law, but now we are subject, in a sense, to our neighbors. And, of course, we do that willingly, knowing that this isn't for our salvation, but God wants us to serve our neighbors. And the Germans, Lutherans, have been doing this, and it's really borne great fruit.
Hmm. Well, what does it take? What are the needs of Lutheran Heritage Foundation today? How can listeners support and find out more about Lutheran Heritage Foundation?
Well, they can certainly certainly go to our website, as I mentioned, www.lhfmissions.org. We explain a lot of what we're doing, and actually we have a really great opportunity right now. A generous donor has given us the opportunity for matching gifts. So if someone's giving for the first time, for example, if somebody gave $25, this donor will double that. So that would mean that that person would add $50. So if you gave $25, all of a sudden your gift is expanded to $75. And when you think about it, these children's Bible storybooks, for example, are $5. So for example, if you've got a children's Bible storybook in Somali, for a child in one of those camps or in among displaced people groups in Africa or in Europe, for that matter, because there are many Somali refugees there, for $5, you can actually buy a book for one of those children there. So if you've given $25, you think five, but with that matching gift of an additional 50, all of a sudden that's 15 books just right there. So that's a great opportunity we have right now.
Very good. Again, lhfmissions.org. You can find out more there as well. And you can find information on the VBS program, River of Life. Are there, say we are looking for a copy of the, you know, for the small catechism in a language, we have a neighbor or a friend. Is there a way for us to get our hands on materials like that to share with someone, share these materials in their own heart language?
Write to us. We do this all the time. We have pastors who say, I've got somebody in my community who is coming to our church. They're Chinese. Do you have something in Mandarin? If you go to our webpage, we will have a listing of all the publications that we have in each language. And all we say is drop us a line. We are more than happy to pack up a book and send it out to you at no cost.
That's wonderful. Very good. Again, the website, lhfmissions.org. Is there a phone number where folks can reach you as well?
They can also reach us at area code 586-781-4286.
Very good. One more time.
Area code 586-781-4286.
Very good. We've been talking with the Reverend Matthew Heise, Executive Director of Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Pastor Heise, thanks so much for being our guest today and sharing with us about the Lutheran Heritage Foundation.
Thank you for having me, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got I'm jumping ahead too early. We've got our study of the daily New Testament reading coming up in just a little bit with Pastor Timothy Schakel from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Malacca, Minnesota. We're going to get into Mark chapter 3 today, verses 20 through 35. Hope you can join us for that today, listeners. And don't forget, during the 10 o'clock hour, we've got that live broadcast from Lutheran High School North. And we're going to talk about pressing on in the face of adversity as Lutheran High School North steps up to help out a neighbor. Hope you can join us for that conversation and more His Time all coming up next right here on Worldwide KFUO, the Messenger of Good News.